Welcome into the Box Score. Terry Collins along with Murphy Fair. Justin Malden always doing a good job for us behind the scenes. And Murph, another week in the books. It seems like we're going very fast toward the district tournament.
Yeah, well, I know you talk to more of the coaches than I do when basketball rolls around, but it seems like this year more than ever, the cold and the flu have kind of dominated the hardwood in high school basketball around this part of the state.
A lot of injuries too for this or for that purpose, and we'll talk to Kevin Honeycutt a little bit later and Joey Agee and also Terry Brock from Gordonsville, and some of those teams have been bit by that, Murphy, but you know, I guess that's an opportunity for you to build some depth.
Well, that's true. If those guys are not healthy enough to get on the floor, what do? You've got to right. go. You got to look at the bench and see who's who's showing up good at practice.
Next man up, right?
That's right.
Let's go ahead and look at the Gordonsville girls' scores. They get a big win over Trousdale County, 71-47. That is a district game. They improved to 16-2 with the home win. They're 2-0 in District 8A and. Terry Brock, we'll have her on a little bit later, Murphy, but they're no doubt one of the surprise teams in the mid-state.
They're doing really, really well. And, you know, anytime a high school team scores 70-plus points, a lot of good things are happening for sure.
Let's go ahead and look at the boys' score. Of course, Gordonsville gets the win over Trousdale County at home, 54-42. As Greg Bibb's squad improves 11-7, 2-0 in District 8A. They're starting to get into the meat of their schedule now, is Gordonsville. Of course, you got Knowledge Academy, you got Joe Burns, you got Merrill Hyde, you got Trousdale County, you got a lot of different teams now, Murphy, that's in their district. So they better gas the vehicle up because they've got some long trips ahead.
Well, they do, but the guys who had played football back in the fall are pretty much now veteran basketball players as far as this season goes. They've got, what, 8 or 10 or 12 games already under their belt, and they've forgotten about that ball that bounces funny ways.
Let's go ahead and look at the Cannon County girls. Cannon County girls get a big district win. I think that was at Monterey.
It was.
57-33. They go to Tullahoma the next day for an evening affair and lose to Tullahoma 55-36. And then they rebound with a big win over Sequatchie County, 67-28. Coach Patrick's Lionettes improved to 8-10 overall. They're 1-0 inside the district.
Our boys and girls both got their hats handed to them when they went to Tullahoma this past Saturday, but that's given, and other games, other opponents as well, has given a lot of girls and boys an opportunity to play some quality time. And we're not seeing the same 5 or 6 girls on the floor all the time anymore like we have been. The depth part for both boys and girls at Cannon has been much stronger.
Let's go ahead and look at the Cannon County boys. Jared Knave's Bunch drops to 14-3 with that one-sided loss to Tullahoma. Jason Welch, the former Macon County coach, now at Tullahoma. They were the state runners-up a year ago to Upperman. They beat Cannon 75-47. Cannon gets a big win in the district, 76-39 over a struggling Monterey team. And then on Monday night, Cannon County gets a big win over Sequatchie County, 78-51. Coach Knave, Murphy, he has scheduled some tough opponents to road test his team.
He has, but some of those guys are starting to step forward. I know, for example, Miles Alexander had 33 against Sequatchie the other night earlier this week. And he's one of those that kind of got the flu or a bad cold a couple of weeks ago. So hopefully all that's behind the Cannon County lineup. And it'll be interesting to see how the district play goes.
Right now it looks like Cannon and Smith on a collision course on the boys' side for the top dog in District 6AA. Let's go ahead and look at the Smith County girls. Of course, they didn't play well at York. Got behind 37-8 or 9 at halftime, wound up losing 49-34. Quite a tale of two halves for the York girls. They were 13-for-19 in the first half from the field and only 2-of-14 in the second half, so didn't shoot well. did not make a three, struggled from a free throw line, but they built up a large enough lead that they wound up winning by 15. Smith County girls rebounded with a home win over Monterey, 60-27, as Matt Farrell's squad improves to 12-7. They're 1-1 in District 6AA. Remember, there's only six district games. Looking at the Smith County boys, their defense has been tremendous. The last two games, they go to York and beat them 60-31. And Murphy, when you go to York, you know you've been around the upcoming basketball. To hold them to 31 points on their home floor, Lane Bissell had to be pleased with their defense.
Oh, without a doubt. And to go to York and score 60 and hold them to right at half that is quite an effort. And like you said, I know the coaching staff had to be really happy. And that was kind of puts them in the driver's seat here in the early part of the season anyway.
Of course, them and Cannon meet here about another week.
And a week from Friday.
Anxious to see. And then Smith County beats Monterey 78-17. Four of their starters for Smith County did not even play in the second half. Cooper Williams led the way with 19. Murphy, they did something I don't think I've ever seen. They held Smith County held a team scoreless in the first quarter and the fourth quarter. I've seen one quarter, but I've never seen a scoreless two quarters as long as I've been playing basketball or keeping book. So I'm sure Lane Bissell had to be pleased with that in the big win at home by 61 over the Wildcats.
I'm getting really excited. It's fun to go to places like Sequatchie and Tullahoma and that kind of thing and see some excellent basketball teams. But I want to see the ones in our region, our district, the ones that that we've got to beat if we're going to go deep into the postseason.
Let's go ahead and look at the Watertown girls. Of course, on Thursday night, didn't play well, lost to Livingston 47-32. And then I think the shocker of the season so far, Watertown goes to York and wins in Jamestown 40-35 after York the previous night had kind of boat raced Smith County. They improved to 9-11, and I know that Brenna Price had to be tickled with that win because York in some polls, Murphy, is as high as number one, and other polls are in the top five.
Absolutely. That had to be a sweet bus ride back to Watertown after that one.
It definitely did. Looking at the Watertown boys, of course, they get the narrow win over Livingston, 47-43, and then they lose at York, 57-43. Kevin Honeycutt's team, as we'll talk to Kevin in a little bit, drops to 8-12. But Murphy, with the injuries and the sickness they've had, they're just wanting a full roster to return.
Absolutely. Like the season's beginning all over again, and we'll forget about what's happened in December and January.
Let's go ahead and look at the DeKalb County girls for Brandy Alley. DeKalb gets a big win over Warren County, 46-42. And Murphy, that has always been a big rival game. Of course, McMinnville and Smithville separated. I guess that's Highway 56. And they join each other. And anytime those two teams play in whatever sport, it's a headbanger.
Just like the one between DeKalb County and Cannon County. It's the same way there.
Right.
We're not playing each other in football right now.
Right.
Didn't this year, and a lot of people really would have liked to have seen that game. But nonetheless, still playing in basketball. I think that was our first game of the season. Yeah, I know it was one of the first two or three. But we've still got another battle with DeKalb before it's all said and done.
Livingston beats DeKalb 59-40 on that girl side. Leslie Riddle's team seems to be playing better with a win over Watertown and now one over DeKalb as they get ready to dive headfirst into their district. Murphy, which is configured different than what it was. Of course, you've got Upperman and White County, always great teams. You've got Stone, you've got Cumberland, four very quality teams. There's going to be a good team that's going to be sitting at home after the district tournament.
Oh, absolutely, and it wouldn't surprise me if that was the case in AA also, especially when we get together for regional play.
Let's go ahead and look at the DeKalb boys. did not play well against Warren County, lost 76-35. I know Joey Hagee was very disappointed in his team's effort. They just not shooting the ball well. And when you look, yes, they did beat Livingston 42-36, Murphy, but I mean, when you score 77 points in two games, it tells you you turn it over a lot or you're shooting very poorly.
Yeah, things just, you know, on certain nights don't go well. One team will score 40 points one night, and the next night they'll double that or come close to it. So that's what makes it so interesting, I guess, for people like us.
We'll have Kevin Honeycutt of the Watertown Purple Tigers when we return to the box score, brought to you by Willworth Bank.
At Willworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys. We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Willworth Bank, care in common. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank, at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookeville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile. Together. Hard work. Real pride. Good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking. Driven by purpose. Powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit huffpufftrucking.com to learn more.
And welcome into the box score. Terry Collins along with Murphy Fair. And we've been joined by Coach Honeycutt from Watertown. And Coach, I know you're in the midst of the season. You've got district play kind of kicking in. Of course, you don't have but, I guess, six district games, all of which are very important, which determines seeding.
Yeah, we don't play district until next Friday. So we've... And we've tried to get as much film and as much scouting everybody that we can, because really for our district, you're just fighting to, you know, to give yourself a shot. You know, nobody wants to go to Upperman first round of the region tournament. And so, you know, that's what we're all kind of fighting for, is, you know, trying to give us a little glimmer of hope.
Coach, everybody at this time of year is worried about injuries and sprained ankles and all that kind of stuff. But it seems like more than ever, a cold or a dash of the flu seems to be hitting a whole lot more teams than normal. What's the situation there at Watertown in that regard?
We've been hit by the biggest 1-2 punch I've ever been hit by as a coach. You know, we've not had a full roster since at Clay County on November, I can't remember, early November, right before Thanksgiving break. You know, we've been down. We played with seven guys. We played with six guys. We played with five guys. We've had guys hurt with ankles. We've had guys, Jack Beasley, we thought he was out with a torn meniscus, and we're lucky to be getting him back here shortly, hopefully. And, you know, Caden Clark goes out with a knee injury. He's been out the last three games. And, you know, Seven Wendell catches some ungodly flu down in Florida and has to go get IV fluids, comes back, and he's out for, you know, three or four games. Daceo Carter was out before we went to Florida. Carlos Shannon was out when we were down in at Monterey for Thanksgiving. And, you know, and then right now, like, Braylon Carruthers is out for us too. He tested positive for the flu yesterday. And here we are sitting with some of our guys that have been hurt that still ain't back. And, you know, it's not just – I'm not sitting here crying wolf or anything like that. But for us to have more depth than we've ever had, we've had more injuries than we've ever had too. So.
Coach, when you look, I know we got to see your game when you played at Gordonsville. Got down by, I don't know, 20, 25 points in that game, and then you just kind of went second half very aggressively, attacking the rim with the dribble drive and then full court press, and wound up cutting that down to 4 or 5 points. I thought during that your team showed a lot of enthusiasm for being down, because a lot of people just pack it in when they're down that much in the second half, but your club didn't.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, our guys have always played hard. You know, we're playing, like right now, we play two freshmen, Connor Parkinson and Clay Hawkins. And so our guys are still learning. We rely heavily on some of our older guys to make shots early in the game. And, you know, some of our guys are struggling right now. And, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with legs because we don't have a lot of depth. And Gordonsville came out and, you know, our plan was to make somebody else beat us other than Jay Foster. And, boy, them kids from Gordonsville, they come out and started making shots and really changed our game plan. And we had to kind of switch things. And by that point, I think at that point, we were already down maybe 18-4. And it just seemed like after that, it all kind of went to shambles in the first half, because we seemed like we were playing on edge and trying to figure out a way to get something done. And, you know, I told our guys at half, you know, we got to play loose, got to play free. You got nothing to lose. You're playing with house money right now. You know, go out here, play hard, and just kind of finish the game and give yourself a shot late. And our guys are resilient. You know, I can honestly say there's, you know, regardless if we win or lose, our guys are going to play hard. And so naturally it gives us a shot, especially with us right now being so skinny on depth. You know, our guys that are playing, they're, you know, those guys playing 30 minutes a game. Some guys are playing 32. You know, we play at Livingston and played Livingston for a third time and, you know, got down at the half. And of course, they've gotten a lot better. And I mean, it's all predicated to, you know, our guys just figuring out a way to just to compete. We always come out sluggish and come out in the hole. We're going to start changing some things to kind of get us easy buckets to start the game, try to give us a little bit of confidence. In reality, we're still playing a lot of young guys. We're still young. I know I've said that, seems like I've said that for the last 3 years, but, you know, that's where we're at. We got a lot of young guys getting a lot of minutes. And, you know, Carlos Shannon's a sophomore, and, you know, Devin Brown's a junior, Brandon Carruthers is a junior, Caden Clark's a junior with no varsity experience, and Seven Wendell's a junior with no varsity experience. So it's not an excuse. We're just trying to teach our guys how to play hard, man, and they play hard, and we can't argue about it.
Coach, I'm one of those guys that kind of looks for the silver lining when things go bad a little bit, but I thought there for a moment you were going to just talk all morning long or all afternoon long with this interview about the outbreak of colds and flus. But I guess if there is a silver lining with all of that, it's some of your younger players or even older players that haven't had a lot of playing time are getting that now, because your main guys are trying to get ready to get back on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, that's something these freshmen, you know, they've been with me in our little AAU program that we started to try to build us and help, you know, build for the future. And they've heard it from me since they were in sixth grade, you know, hey, when you all become freshmen, I want you all to be able to play as freshmen. I don't want you all to just be playing JV and playing freshman games. You know, the goal is to have you all ready to contribute as freshmen, because that's how, you know, that's how successful programs start to get built. They always have freshmen coming in ready to play. And for the most part, our young guys have been resilient. They're coachable. They play hard. They want to do whatever it takes to win. You know, I can tell them to go out there and just box out the entire time and don't worry about nothing else. And they'll do exactly what I tell them to do. And it's a relief for me, because I know what we've got coming, you know, as far as our younger guys and what we've got coming up through the middle school and stuff. But, you know, it was, especially this year with our older guys, everybody getting hurt and getting sick. And it does, you know, knock on wood, you know, it seems like it's just our older guys getting sick and getting hurt. None of our young guys have had any injuries as of now. And, you know, we're thankful for it, because, you know, without them, you know, I don't know what we'd be doing right now. We'd be trying to tread water for sure.
Coach, you're in District 8-3A, and that's Macon County, DeKalb, Watertown, and Central Magnet. You stated that you haven't started the district slate as of yet. Most people have. So I know that you're hoping to get some more kids back to where that you may be more at full guns when you play those district teams.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, we're not really trying to stress about it a lot. I think we've, in the last 8 games, or 9 games especially, we've dropped a couple that, you know, I feel like if we have a full roster, we win. And, you know, some of these guys probably could have came back, but, you know, in the bigger picture, you know, do we want to rush them back
and then take a chance on re-aggravating another injury or making it worse than what it already is, and then being out for district play. And, you know, I'm just sitting here looking at the schedule, and I'm thankful that, you know, we don't play district until the 23rd. You got teams all across the state that have already played 2 and 3 district games. And, you know, for us, it's a good feeling, and I'm grateful for it. But, you know, the biggest thing for us right now is just, like I said, everybody's just trying to get healthy right before district play, and that's next Friday at Central Magnet.
Coach, any real surprises in the way the district play has gone, or at least the other three teams in the district? Are you still looking at the same teams that you were looking at 6 or 8 weeks ago as the teams to beat this year?
You know, I think everybody's kind of in the same boat. We're all just trying to figure out who we are. I think everybody in our district right now, we're all young. You know, the Cavs got a ton of freshmen. Not freshmen, but sophomores. You know, we got a ton of freshmen playing and one sophomore and, you know, 3 juniors. And Macon County's probably the more mature and seasoned team. And then you got Central Magnet that, you know, same thing. They've got a lot of young guys, some sophomores and juniors playing, and, you know, they get a new coach. And so I think right now, you know, for the most part, we're all still trying to find our identity. And I think it's going to matter, you know, early February on who found their identity first. And because I think we're all still trying to find ways to win. You know, Macon County's a lot better than I expected, and Coach Owens has done a good job with them. And, you know, they play extremely hard, and Coach Owens is going to scheme it up. You know, and DeKalb County's got guys that can put the ball in a hole. Central Magnet is probably the biggest team that we'll see all year with their sheer size. You know, so I think the district's going to shape out, and I think for our district especially, I think at any given night somebody can get beat. I don't think there's anybody that's just head over heels better than anybody else. I think it's just kind of which way the wind blows that night, or which way it doesn't blow.
Coach Honeycutt, I know that with the way the district is and only 4 teams, it's very critical that you get as best seed as possible, because you want to win that semifinal game, which ensures that you host in the first round of the region at Watertown in that quarterfinal matchup.
You know, I think, you know, for our district especially, I think you want to finish first or second. You know, that way you've got, you know, the 3rd and the 4th seed coming to you. Because I think if you go on the road with the other side of the region, you know, we played Cumberland County down in Florida, and, you know, they had a kid go off for 39, and I've never seen anything like it. I mean, we got kids draped all over him and sending 2 at him, and he's still making shots everywhere. You know, and White County's a lot better than what people expected, too. You know, they've gotten a lot better, and they're physical, they're athletic. So I just think for our district, you do not want to go on the road first round of the region tournament and having to play at their place, and, you know, and you're walking into a gym already down 15 when you go to the Upper Cumberland area.
Coach, you also got a very good Stone team up there as well.
Yeah, and that's something too. I watched Stone play this summer. They came to our preseason play day too, and they must have been missing a lot of guys, because, you know, we played them here and battled with them. You know, we played Lebanon before that, beat Lebanon, and then turned around and played Stone back-to-back and battled with them. And, you know, they're long and athletic. They've got a freshman that's probably one of the better freshmen in the area. They've got the big 6'6 guard that they've got that can just fly. So there's no – don't get me wrong, I'm grateful we're opposite and we're in a different district, but it ain't going to matter, because at some point you got to go through them in the region tournament. And that region in general on that side is just – unreal. I would argue to say it's one of the most competitive districts, if not the most competitive in 3A basketball in the state from top to bottom outside of Livingston. And Livingston, you know, Livingston's always right there with them too. So,
well, Coach Honeycutt, we appreciate you visiting with us. Best of luck to Watertown, and best of luck to the health of your players, that you get them back soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Okay, Coach Kevin Honeycutt's been our guest. And we'll have more of the Box Score brought to you by Wellworth Bank when we return, as Murphy Fair and Terry Collins with you on the Box Score.
Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? Because we're committed to providing top quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookeville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Regardless of where you call home, you can relax even more when you trust DTC Security to keep tabs on your home and your family's safety.
For just $49.99, get a system with a touch keypad, 3-window or door sensors, motion detector, key fob, and standard installation. Secure your home and guard your future with DTC Security.
Don't wait until something happens. Contact DTC Security now and take the worry away at your home.
At Wellworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys. We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Wellworth Bank, care in common. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
And welcome back into the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank. We've been joined by Joey Agee of the DeKalb County Tigers. And Coach, I know that you're getting ready to start district play. Only four teams in your district, and I know you're looking for some consistency out of your squad to hit those six district games head on.
We've struggled to shoot the ball a little bit lately. So we're just trying to, find some consistency on the scoring part of things. We're sitting at 9-9 right now. We got to be better. We got to be better offensively when we get our opportunities. The last few games we've shot pretty bad from basically every spot on the floor, including the free throw line. So we got to, be more consistent shooting the ball. Our effort's been, for the most part, pretty good. We was a little bit, maybe just sleepwalking through at Livingston, and almost caught up with it. So, but maybe that was a lesson learned for us.
Coach, we interviewed Kevin Honeycutt just before it was your turn, and he has gone through all kinds of colds and flus and all that kind of stuff. Never really knows from one day to the next how many kids he's going to have on his team. Has that affected you the same way?
We've had a little sickness. That hit us a little bit earlier in the year. We have two kids out right now that's hurt, but they should be back in the next week or so, probably before district play starts. So. We've been fortunate, in that aspect that if anybody's been a little dinged up, it's not been very long. So hopefully it will continue our health will continue. The flu, all the sicknesses is going around. We've kind of stayed away from that, or at least it happened to us maybe a little bit over Christmas break when we didn't have a few games. So.
Coach Agee, when you look, without having played a district game yet, which is not like many teams, I guess y'all's district probably starts later than anybody else in the state of Tennessee in those six district games that you'll have with Central Magnet, with Watertown, and also Macon County. So I guess that gives you an opportunity, first of all, to scout all three of these teams. Of course, a couple of them you're pretty familiar with. But still gives you an opportunity to get several looks at them.
Yeah, we'll be able to. We'll have plenty of time to go through film on them. Of course, they will. They will for us also. I've seen a couple of the teams in person already. It'll be. I'd say night in, night out. It'll be nip and tuck. A 5 or 6 point win or loss here or there is probably what we're looking at, you know, overall in the district. I think it's going to be that close on the boys' side.
Any surprises so far in the games that the other teams in your particular district have made? Somebody maybe you didn't think was going to be a threat, all of a sudden they're the team that's got the target on their back now.
Well, I mean, honestly, like I said, I think we're kind of all in the same boat a little bit. Macon County may be a little bit of an older group than we are. I don't know for sure exactly what their roster is made up of senior-wise or junior-wise, but I know Watertown's, you know, got a young roster. Central Magnet's got a young roster. And we got we're pretty young overall. I mean, out of 16 varsity kids, 11 of those are sophomores or freshmen, so... you know, just the youth aspect of it, I think it's going to, you know, but, you know, like I told the guys the other day, we're 18 games in now. So if you're a freshman or a sophomore, you know, by class, that's not really an excuse anymore. You've played enough high school basketball to be ready to go.
Coach AG, I know it's important that you hopefully finish first or second in your district. Because all four of the teams on the other side, which you're familiar with, because you just came from that district, so you know how good Stone is, you know how good Upperman is, White County, and you know, you've got Livingston over there, and you've got Cumberland County. With the exception of Livingston, you've got four very good teams over there.
Yeah, I mean, night in, night out, they're, you know, very, very competitive. Of course, we played White County twice already this year, and they've beat us both times. I think Stone is going to be better than most people expected them to be based off what they lost. But I've seen them play this summer, so I knew pretty early that they was going to be really good again. So, of course, and then you got Upperman that's always going to be good as long as you have Cobb. And, you know, I watched Cumberland County play them on tape. And, you know, I thought Cumberland County did a really good job, had a good game plan against them, tried to keep the game on the low end of scoring aspect. Cumberland County's another team that can shoot the ball really well. If they get hot, then they can beat anybody night in, night out. So the other side, you know, pretty strong overall, top to bottom. It's going to be important for us to, you know, finish in that top two to be able to maybe host a home game.
Coach, give us your thoughts on the Cobb kid. It seems like every time I pick up anything at all about high school basketball in Tennessee, his name comes up. He must be one of those that, you know, every coach dreams of getting someone like that in their coaching career. And look like the folks there in Baxter have got a good one and got him very young, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's very, very good. I mean, I think sometimes it's hard to tell how good he is in a high school basketball game just based off, you know, just the overall talent in a high school basketball game. I think probably where you see how good of a basketball player he is during his AAU season. I've seen, you know, a few times I've seen him play in certain situations. But, you know, he's a kid who could score 40 a night. But a lot of times, I mean, he's also looking to get his teammates involved. Now, I think this year a little bit, he's probably having to score the basketball a little bit more than, you know, what he has in the past. But you don't look at him as a selfish player or anything like that. And, you know, he's very good defensively, has quick hands, so he gets a lot of tips and a lot of deflections on the defensive end. You know, yeah, I mean, he's really good, obviously, but... But you know, that don't happen by accident. He's put in a ton of work to get there, and you just don't walk out and become that type of player, that caliber of player, without putting in the work.
Coach, when you talk about Ty Cobb, of course, he's already scored over 2,000 points in his career, and probably no doubt will be the all-time leading scorer at Upperman Boys before he's finished, and they won a state championship, and he drug home an MVP a year ago. I know they did lose some pieces to the puzzle, but a lot of people feel like that they're once again geared up for a deep postseason run.
I think they got to be the favorite until somebody proves you otherwise, really, just to be honest with you, with, you know, that type of player coming back on your team. So it'll be interesting to see, and it'll be important for our side, whoever comes out, to win the district tournament, or, you know, finish high in the district tournament to kind of set yourself up for maybe a region run.
Coach, how difficult has it been for you to try and put a schedule together? It seems like there's an awful lot of districts, especially here in Middle Tennessee, that are just four school districts, and that only guarantees you six games during the season. So obviously you've got to drive a little bit farther and match yourself with teams that traditionally you've never played before.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously kept Livingston, we kept White County out of our old district on the schedule. White County, because of the closeness for us to be able to travel to games, and Livingston we kept on the schedule because as long as I can remember, and maybe forever, I don't know that for sure, but we've been in the same district with Livingston, so we kept them on the schedule. You know, the biggest problem was that everybody else's district schedule is starting a week before us, or a week and a half, depending on where you're looking at. So we had a gap in our scheduling. So we played Tuesday. Our last game was Tuesday at Livingston, and we were going to end up having a gap of 10 days before we played our first district game, which would be Friday. I'm not sure exactly what the date is, but the following Friday of the next week was going to be our first district game. So we were struggling to find a game. We ended up being off this Friday, and we picked up Tennessee Heat on Tuesday of next week. So a really good team also, I think, has played Upperman and played Cookeville and played some really tough teams around here. So it's going to be good for us to have that caliber of game on a Tuesday before we play our first district game on Friday.
Well, Coach Joey Agee, we appreciate you visiting with us. I know that you're getting ready to start district play. Best of luck in it, and best of luck to the Tigers.
I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Coach.
We've been visiting with Joey Agee, the DeKalb County Tigers head coach. And when we return, we'll turn our attention to the Gordonville Tigerettes, the surprise team in our viewing area when we return, as we remind you, watching the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank, at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookeville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? Because we're committed to providing top-quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile. Together. Hard work. Real pride. Good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking. Driven by purpose. Powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit huffpufftrucking.com to learn more.
Welcome back into the Box Score. We've got Terry Brock, the head coach for the Gordonsville Tigerettes. And, Coach, not that you're much of a historian on Gordonsville basketball, but it's been a while since Gordonsville girls have been 16-2.
I know, yes. And I've had some people that, you know, are true blue and been in this community for a long time have brought that to my attention. And so that's something, you know, I try to stay focused on the present, but it is definitely something to be proud of. You know, I've had a lot of people tell me that it's exciting. It's an exciting time. And it's not just girls basketball. I think girls programs here at Gordonsville are experiencing a lot of success. I mean, you look at volleyball, of course, they've been successful for several years now. And I mean, softball, and then with their state tournament runs, and you look at volleyball this year with their state tournament run. And so now us girls basketball having a great start to the season. I think it's an exciting time for girls sports here at Gordonsville High School.
And coach, don't forget flag football. They've been pretty successful as well.
I know. And last year I watched my first flag football games when I went to see them play. And I was really impressed with how fun that is to watch. So, and a couple of my basketball players they're going to play flag football. So that's going to be exciting. And they'll go straight out of this season to that season. But, I can't say enough about my team and how that we have progressed this year. And like I said, there are still things that we need to improve on, that we need to do better at. And I tell them every day, you know, we can't get complacent, and each game carries weight and significance from here on out, obviously being in district play. But it is an exciting year for us, for sure, up until this point.
Coach, I've talked to a lot of other coaches over the years about similar situations, the way Gordonsville's girls are playing right now. And when they're asked what's making that happen, the coaches generally say, if I knew, we'd bottle it and make $1 million. What would your answer to that question be about why are the girls playing so well right now?
I think one of the things that makes us so successful is the ability to share the basketball. I think every player that we put on the floor right now is looking to score, and that makes us harder to guard. I think that's the number one thing that's contributing to our success. And I think overall, our awareness of the game is much better than it has been, or than it was. And I started to see that change over the summer. I started to see them play with a lot more awareness. And I think that's just continued over into this season. And those two things, I think, have made a huge difference. And back to kind of what you said, if we knew, we'd bottle it up. I think a lot of times when you have a team that has success, sometimes it's just you have the right puzzle pieces that fit together. And I think that's what this team has. Our puzzle pieces just fit together this year.
You're talking about chemistry?
Yeah, I think, yes. And I think we play with confidence in each other, and I think that's something that's a little bit different than the past. And confidence, you know, in any sport can make all the difference in the world.
Coach, I want to talk about one of your four seniors, which is Mackenzie Heron, just going over the 1,000-point plateau, I think it was last Friday night, against Trousdale County. And, Coach, I'm always impressed with Mackenzie's play is because her demeanor never changes, much like your entire team does. If they've got 25 points or if they hadn't scored a point, they still play hard on defense, they still rebound hard, they still defend hard. I know that's got to please you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and shots don't always fall. You know how that goes. And so that's what I tell them. You know, sometimes we can't control whether or not every shot goes in, but you can always control your effort and your intensity on the defensive end. You know, and what an exciting night for Mackenzie. I know that's a goal she set for herself back at the beginning of her high school career. I know that's a goal she set for herself as a freshman. And I knew leading into this season that was a very attainable goal. And, you know, we've kind of been monitoring it and watching it. And so I could not be more excited for Mackenzie, because, you know, you have great high school players that still do not reach that milestone. So I think that's a huge accomplishment for her. You know, I also think that's, you know, a testament to her teammates. I think we do a really good job of moving the ball, finding the open person. Mackenzie spends a lot of hours in the gym outside of practice as well. And so I told her, you know, I said, hard work really does pay off. But what an exciting night to have a player from the girls program and a player from the boys program reach that milestone. So it was definitely a good night for Tiger fans, for sure.
Coach, how do you think your girls are reacting to this great success that you're having, the target on your back, so to speak? I could see where that could go in multiple different directions, but it seems like right now it's going the way it needs to.
Yes, you're absolutely right, and we talk about that. You know, I'm very open with my girls. We have conversations about that because, you know, I tell them every night, when you have a winning record and you're having success, you know, usually every team is bringing their best to you every night. And I also talk about not being complacent, never being satisfied and always wanting to get better. That's been a little bit of a motto since I got here, is every day, no matter what, 1% better. So we talk about that, and I talk about how you've got to show up every game. You can't take anything for granted, because if you've got a really good team and they have an off night, and then you've got a team that maybe doesn't have as much talent but they have an on night, you've seen it. Yeah, we see it every year with the NCAA tournament. You know, you just can't take anything for granted. So that's one of the things we focus on, approaching every game one at a time, as that is the most important game. And ultimately, that's what it is. We can only take one game at a time. You know, over the last few weeks, we've battled sickness. We've battled injury. So you never know when adversity is going to hit. So I tell them, we have to – it's just like when you lose a game. You know, you've got to learn from it, put that behind you. It's the same thing with a win. We have to celebrate it, but also learn from it, and then it's on to the next. It's like every game our record kind of resets itself is what I tell them.
Coach, I know that you only had two players born the last time that Gordonsville beat the Lady Owls at Gordonsville. That came back on December the 18th of 2007. You only had a couple of girls, and they were 6 months or younger when that happened, so mere babies. How important was that for them to get over the psyche, because they've lost so many times to Smith County, to finally get a win at home?
I think it's important if you look at the big picture with turning this program around. And we all know the significance of that rivalry. So I think that win is just one more thing that indicates how, you know, we're trying to turn this program around, and bringing that level of play back to where it was, I know, years ago. You know, it's funny because there is a state tournament banner that hangs in the gym that I look at every day. And I was playing at that same time, high school basketball. So it's kind of funny to me. It's interesting because I was at the state tournament also, one of those last years that Gordonsville was at the state tournament. Of course, I was playing in a different class. But I look at that banner every day because I want these kids that are playing right now. I know how an amazing feeling that is. And I think, you know, that's an attainable goal for us this year and in the coming years. But big wins like that, like the one you referenced that have been that long, you know, last year it was the same way when we beat Clay County at home. I think it had been over 10 years since that had happened as well. So when you have things like that, and the girls understand that, and they understand the significance of those rivalries, it just adds a little bit more perspective to the program.
Coach, you mentioned significance. Is your fan base multiplying because of all of this wins on a regular basis?
You know, I will say this, that is the great thing about this community, is that we do have a lot of community support. And these games, I feel like, are exciting to watch and fun to watch. But, you know, even last year when we struggled, I will say this, we still had a lot of community support, and I truly appreciate that. I think it is always more fun to watch when that team that you're there to support is winning. And I would say, I think a little bit more, even student involvement has been great at our games this year. And we've had the band at a couple of home games. That's always exciting. But I do hope as we progress through the season that we'll get a bigger fan base. But I have been thankful. Even last year, like I said, fans really showed up for us. They supported us. And that's been since I got here from day one. And that makes a difference. I know that these girls appreciate it. I know that when it's always fun, because when I go back and I watch our film, of course, our camera is on the other side of the gym, so I can see our fans. And it's so exciting to go back, and when we have an awesome play and we have good ball movement, somebody knocks down a shot, to see the crowd reaction. That's one of my favorite parts of rewatching film, is to see the excitement in the crowd this year.
Well, Coach Brock, we appreciate you visiting with us, and good luck in the days ahead as you enter your district race in full heat.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Keep it up. Keep it up, Coach.
Coach Terry Brock's been our guest, and we'll have a look at the upcoming slate of games for our 10 teams that we cover here on the Box Score. As we remind you, you're watching Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile. Together. Hard work, real pride, good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking. Driven by purpose, powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit huffpufftrucking.com to learn more.
Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? Because we're committed to providing top-quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
At Wellworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys. We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Wellworth Bank, care in common. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Welcome back into the Box Score. Final session, I guess, Murph. Wellworth Bank's our title sponsor, and we get to talk about these upcoming games, and a lot of those are going to be very, very interesting.
Well, because most of them are going to be district games, at least half of them from here on out. And like I've said earlier, those are the ones that really count. You use action against teams poorer than you or better than you, but it gives the coaching staff, and even the kids too, for that matter, a better idea of what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, and hopefully make for some better things once tournament time rolls around.
Our featured game was going to be Watertown at Smith County. Nope, they're not in the same district anymore. Watertown 3A, Smith County 2A. The replay dates are on Tuesday, January the 20th at 7 p.m., Wednesday, January the 21st at 1 p.m., and then Thursday and Friday on the 22nd and the 23rd at 7 p.m. You can also visit online at dtc3.tv to watch that too, starting Tuesday, January the 20th at 7. And Murphy, it was two Smith County wins in that first affair. But which Watertown girls team are you going to get this Friday night?
Exactly. They've been from one end to the other in the scoring department, and I know their coaching staff has got to be scratching their heads, but hopefully they've gotten a lot of that taken care of in the last few days, and we'll just have to wait and see how it turns out.
Of course, Macy Braley has been back now after being out with that ankle, so it'll be interesting to see just how, because Murphy, even after you're out for a while, it takes a little while to get back in normal game mode.
Absolutely, absolutely. It doesn't just stay with you when you go to bed.
Right.
You know, you got to get up and practice at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever the time may be.
And, you know, the physical shape. If you've got an ankle injury, guess what? You can't run. So you're not used to sprinting up and down the floor. So, you know, it's something that you'll get back. It just may take a little while. Let's go ahead and look at the upcoming games for Cannon County. They'll play York at home, and then they've also got Cascade, Murph.
Yeah, that's a second of a meeting with the champions, if you will. And then the next Friday, that's when it's Smith County and Cannon County right. getting together.
Of course, Cannon, York, and Smith all in the same district this year, 6AA. Let's go ahead and look at the upcoming games for DeKalb. They've got that Tennessee Heat game on Tuesday night. They did that to prevent, as Joey Agee said earlier, a 10-day layoff before they started the district play. Of course, once again, and I keep saying this because it's confusing to our viewers because DeKalb's old district and new district are different.
Right.
They've got Central Magnet, they've got Watertown, and they've got Macon County, which is their four-team district. So it's different than what it was.
And Central Magnet is in Murfreesboro, just
That's
in
right.
case you don't know.
So let's go ahead and look at the upcoming games for Gordonsville. They make the short trip over into Robertson County, Murph. You and I both have been to Cedar Hill several times. They go to Joe Burns. I think that's a district game, and then they host Knowledge Academy. So when you look at that, that's two district games, and I'm sure that they are anxious to see how they measure up against these teams.
Don't know anything at all about Knowledge Academies. Is that, are they in a school building, or is that homeschooled people?
I have no clue.
They did have a football team, though, so
right.
apparently they've got, I want to say they're in the old Springfield High School building, but I'm not sure.
That's Innovation Academy.
Oh, this
that's
is
Innovation
another
Innovation Academy. This
okay.
is Knowledge Academy. So, anyway.
Come on, Academy's mixed up.
Let's look at the Smith County slate. They gave, have Watertown, as we said earlier, on our Huff and Puff Trucking Game of the Week on DTC Sports, and then Saturday, Murph, they've got a very tough Stone Memorial team. They were kind of embarrassed. Stone girls were. They were 14-2, I think, and White County beat them at Sparta and beat them bad in a district game. I believe that was last night, on Tuesday night. And then, speaking of White County, they'll come to Carthage on Tuesday, January the 20th. So Smith County playing a couple of 3A or three 3A teams in their next three contests. The good thing is two of those three will be at home.
It's kind of like Cannon County going to Tullahoma late last
right.
week. That was, we won't talk about that. That was just a bad day all the way around.
Let's go ahead and look at Watertown. They've got Trousdale County at home. Then they go to Thursday, and then they turn around and go to Carthage on Friday, and then they've got Red Bowling Springs on Tuesday. I know Watertown right now, Murphy, has not played a district game. They're getting ready to start that after this slate of games. But they're just looking to become consistent. When I talked to Coach Price and Coach Honeycutt, that's what they're wanting, and to get everybody back healthy.
Well, the girls have proved that they could be a pretty doggone good basketball team when they want to be. And I'm one of those that's kind of leaning toward Watertown's girls to being one of the teams in that district to make some major noise before it's all said and done.
We want to thank all our fine sponsors, and for Justin Malden and Murphy Fair, I'm Terry Collins. Good night from the Box Score.